second and five from the nine. Christian shotgun. Adrian to his right. Kyle Rudolph slot left. Christian takes the snap. Wheels it out to the right. It's caught by Michael Jenkins at the five. Near side. Leaps for the end zone. Touchdown!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, privileged to be joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier atop each and every show Thursday evening on the Vikings Radio Network. And this part of the program is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Sorry about the game at the nation's capital, but congratulations on the outstanding start at 4-2.
Well, it's a good start, but as you know, it's not anything that we want to be satisfied with. There's so much more football to be played, and we got a big ball game come up this weekend, so we need to play some good football.
Do coaches ever do happiness? I mean, outside of winning the Super Bowl, do coaches ever sit back on a Monday after a good record? Like, you killed Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, moved to 4-1. Do you ever sit back for just like 3 seconds and say, wow, we're good, and this is really fun?
You know, in our league, it's so hard to get a win, as you know. And you don't really take a deep breath until the season's done. And you just keep battling every week.
What was it like in the game last week compared to what you saw on film with that quirky Washington offense, that read option offense? And they ran for 183 on you. 76 came on that one long run, obviously on a third down at a key point of the game. But from what you saw with this very unique approach to the NFL game, how did it translate into the game?
Well, you're right. It's a unique approach. It's not something we see very often, and we didn't handle it as well as we needed to. And there are definitely some things we'd do a little bit different if we ever see that team again. But credit to the Redskins. It's a good scheme. They've got the quarterback to run that scheme, and he's a terrific athlete, and it definitely gave us some problems.
You guys a little banged up out of that game? Not season-long type injuries, but, you know, just a little gimpy out of the game?
Yeah, we had a few guys get nicked up a little bit, but fortunately for us, is nothing that should keep anybody out long-term.
What was Everson Griffin's demeanor like game day off the death of his mom?
You know, Paul, he was incredible under the circumstances. He really wanted to play well and wanted our team to play well. He kind of dedicated that game to his mom, and he felt like his mom really would want him to play. She loved watching him play, and, you know, he came out there with a heavy heart, but he played hard, and he played extremely well. He was a great example for our players or for our team. So, you know, our hearts still go out with he and his family.
Well, he's been good for you this year. I mean, he's playing more than last year. I know you stood him up last year in the 3-3-5 mm-hmm. every so often. I think you call it the Joker spot. Mm-hmm. But you slide him inside on the nickel. He has a sack from the right defensive end spot. Mm-hmm. You got Jared Allen out every so often on that nice defensive line rotation you have. And Everson mm-hmm. Griffin has to play a big role in that. And so far he has.
He really has. He's done a good job all season long. He's embraced the opportunities that have been given to him and played well, whether we line him up inside or whether we line him up at defensive end. And you're right. At times we line him up almost like a linebacker, and he's really matured as a player to the point where we can count him in run situations as well. So he's been a great addition to our defense this season.
Percy Harvin leads the NFL in total yards, and really it's becoming not even close. I remember a couple of weeks ago when he was like 20 yards clear from somebody. Now he's beginning to pull away because of those kick returns and the big receiving games that he has. Leslie, for you and Bill Musgrave, how difficult is it weekly trying to find new creative ways to get him open?
Well, Paul, it's a good problem to have because, you know, if you can come up with ideas, and Bill has done a terrific job of doing that, you know, putting him in different places where defensive coordinators have to figure out where he's going to be from week to week and then utilize him in various ways. So it's a good problem to have. And fortunately for us, Percy is one of those guys, wherever we put him, he ends up making plays, whether it's at the slot position, the outside wide receiver position, in the backfield, and even when he doesn't get the ball, Paul, yeah. he still creates so much attention that it opens up other things for other players.
What's Percy's personality type like behind the scenes? I mean, from my vantage point, I think he's quietly confident. You know, Percy's a smiley kind of guy. For instance, we're going to have Jamarcus Sanford on the show coming up a little later. Jamarcus loud, by yeah. admission, but he's yeah. loud in that he pumps everybody up.
Yes.
What's Percy's personality type like?
You're right. He's a little quieter, but he has that side to him where he'll get guys going as well. I mean, he's in practice cheering guys on. He gets in the huddle. You know, he's high-fiving everybody. Hey, man, let's have a good period. Let's get this going. So he shows some leadership qualities that you look for in a star player, and that's the side, you know, most of the fans don't get a chance to see. And, of course, those big plays he makes energizes everybody.
Rookie of the year in 09, obviously. Been in the league now so that he's a veteran. It seems like, you know, in watching him through the years, Percy will get stars in his eyes. It's like when Brett Favre was here. Wow, that's Brett Favre. I used to watch him on TV. Mm-hmm. Wow, there's Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was little or littler than I am now in 98 when he had all those touchdowns. So Percy has an appreciation for the history of the game, but he'll get stars in his eyes too, won't he?
Well, he's a fan in a lot of ways of a lot of the great players that have played our game, which is a credit to him. He understands the game. He loves the game, and he's a fan of a lot of players in the game. But you know, things are turning where a lot of the players in our league are fans of Percy Harvin, which is you know, unique in itself.
What's new with Jerome Simpson, and will he play this weekend?
He's had a good week of practice. We're looking forward to seeing him in action on Sunday, and you know, we're believing he's going to make some big plays for us.
He mentioned to the media he felt he should have played last week. He didn't. You had a different side of the story. Any problems?
No, there are no problems. I mean, he wants to play. I mean, he's competitive, and I'm glad. I mean, he has that competitive nature. That's one of the reasons we signed him. So, no problem.
And even though you didn't score an offensive touchdown at Detroit, I thought he had a terrific game. I mean, he put a couple of pass interference calls on the rookie from Louisiana Lafayette. Then he had that big catch by the boundary on that second down late. You're milking the clock. Everybody thinks you're going to run. Christian goes into single coverage against Bill Bentley. There's Jerome with a 40-inch vertical bringing it in. So even in a small sample, Leslie, we've been able to see exactly what you guys want.
No doubt about it. And the fact that we think he'll be healthy this weekend, it'll open up some other things for our offense. Because you're right, that Detroit game was a glimpse of what he's capable of doing to a defense and what it can do for our offense. So it'll be great to have him back.
Is Devin Aromashadu underutilized? I asked Christian Ponder about this earlier in the week, and the examples I cited was, you know what, I mean, I'm not trying to put him in the Pro Bowl here, but when you needed that 26-yarder against Jacksonville, you needed it like you needed to breathe. Mm. He got open. He generally makes a guy miss. He put a pass interference call on Josh Wilson back left of the end zone at Washington. I'm not saying a 15-target-a-game kind of guy, but is he a little underutilized in the passing game?
Well, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Devin. He's made a lot of plays for us, as you mentioned, and there are opportunities for him in the offense, but there are times when we want to do some things with him, but he's taken away from us. So
Right. We
don't take Devin for granted. He's capable of making plays, and we know that.
Leslie Frazier is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Quickly, what do you think about a game in London next year, September 29th, 2013, Steelers? I know you're all in on Arizona, but your team's going to go to London next year.
Yeah. You're right. I'm all in on Arizona.
You're like Big Ben. Are we talking about Roethlisberger, the clock, or the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
Adrian keeps ripping himself in the media, saying he had a bad game at Washington and wasn't necessarily as aggressive as he needed to be. What could he have done better?
You know, he had a good game, but his standards are high, as you know. I mean, he wants to be perfect in every situation, and we all like for that to happen, but it's tough to be perfect at all times. And he had a good ball game. He had some nice runs for us to help set up some situations that we needed. And, you know, he'll play well again this next weekend, but sometimes he can be too hard on himself.
16 starts now for your quarterback, Christian Ponder. How close is he, Leslie, to becoming legitimately an upper echelon quarterback in the NFL?
I don't think he's that far away. I mean, it's a process, as you know, and he's just in his second season in our league and had his first off season with his coaches. So he'll get better as time goes on, and he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League over time.
Does the pass rush get to him at all when it repeatedly comes to him? Does he get happy feet? Is the footwork, is that one thing that needs to settle down a little bit for Christian?
I think with every quarterback in our league, whether you talk about Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Christian Ponder, whoever, if you're not protecting those guys, I mean, it's tough. I mean, over a period of time, they're going to feel that rush. And so you want to do a good job in protection. And for us, being able to run the ball helps with that protection as well. So I think every quarterback, if they're getting hit repeatedly or they're getting pressure in their face, it's going to create some technique issues.
Your defense, would you qualify the Minnesota Vikings as a quality blitzing team? Like when you come with a blitz, even if it doesn't get home, does that mean other things around it are transpiring so that you would qualify it as we are a good blitzing team?
I do think we're a good blitzing team, although the last play against Washington, that was a blitz, and we didn't get what we wanted out of it. But in general, we have been a good blitzing team, and you know, we don't do it a whole lot, but when we do, we've been effective this season.
So on that 76-yard run by the rookie, and you come with that all-out blitz, are you looking for either hit the quarterback, he goes down, or he completes a shorty, you wrap somebody up, and then you put him in a weird fourth down?
That's exactly what we wanted to be able to do, just take away some run lanes and be able to try to get the ball out of his hands a little bit sooner than he wanted. Well, of course, he saw that everything was covered, and he took off, and we weren't able to get him on the ground.
Tough guy game at FedEx Field. We talked earlier about Percy Harvin, who just came up patentedly tough. Mm. What about Antoine Winfield, 14th year from Ohio State, 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. He had that pick right in front of you guys on the bench. Tough guy game. Antoine's about as tough as they get.
Oh, without question. I still say pound for pound, there's not a fiercer tackler in our league. And he had one heck of a football game against the Redskins all over the field, really set the tone in so many ways for us from a leadership standpoint and the way he played. Just a terrific outing for him.
You watch all the plays, obviously, at least a couple of times. There was a play early in the game. It might have been a screen. Didn't Antoine take tight end Logan Paulson and just drill him, like, in essence, get out of my way. Right. I'm going to make this tackle. And this is a guy basically twice his size.
You're exactly right. When his teammates saw that play on tape, they were all like, wow, run that back, coach. Let's see that again. Mm. I mean, he's not a big guy. And to see him just throw that tight end to the ground and go over and make the tackle, it was impressive.
Leslie, how does Arizona operate offensively, specifically with John Skelton as the quarterback this weekend?
Well, they're not going to deviate a whole lot from what they've done in the past. I mean, they want to throw the football. They do like to run when they have a chance to run. They've been injured at the running back position, but they came back and ran it well against Buffalo a week ago. But at the end of the day, they want to get the football into Larry Fitzgerald's hand and let him make some plays. Todd Heap is a very good tight end. They'll bring in four wides at times and really put some pressure on your secondary. So we're going to have to really play well as a defense.
5'9 running back William Powell. What's his story?
Well, he's a young man who ran well for him a week ago. You know, he had 70 yards rushing, I think about 16 carries, and they were sorely looking for someone to step up at the running back position, and he came in and did a good job for him.
St. Paul's Michael Floyd, the rookie from Notre Dame, how's he improving?
I think he's really coming along. You know, we liked him when he was coming out of college. They're beginning to utilize him a little bit more in their four-wide package along in their three-wide receiver package. So he's been impressive.
Is Larry Fitzgerald Jr., who has one touchdown against you guys in four games, is he still one of the toughest covers in the NFL?
Oh, without question. I mean, he's a guy you can't ignore on the football field, and nobody does. I mean, he's usually facing double coverage, and when he doesn't get double coverage, you know, you're still leaning the safety in his direction. He's a special guy.
What has led to them permitting a gaudy 28 sacks so far?
Well, they've had a lot of changes on the offensive line. They've lost both of their starting tackles. So in our league, that's tough when you get that deep into your depth. They're at the point now where they're playing with backup tackles, which is hard. The guard position, they're a little bit, you know, down as well health-wise. But the thing that has helped them, Paul, is although they've had some struggles on offense because of injuries, they're 4-2, and you have to credit their defense. Yep. They're playing outstanding defense, and that keeps you in the games, and they've had a lot of close games, and they've been able to win some of those.
And the defense is very stingy with some legitimate upper echelon players on each level. I know Darnell Dockett's battling a hamstring right now, but when he's good to go, as good as it gets from the inside, Darrell Washington, I think, is one of the real underrated players in the NFL. Most people remember him because he was the guy Jerome Simpson did the somersault over in the second to last game of the season. Yes. Then you get to the back end, Adrian Wilson knows how to get around even at the end of his career, and Patrick Peterson, I would imagine, clearly is better than last year, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got some outstanding players on defense, and you can't forget Calais Campbell as well. So they've got some players who make a lot of plays, and the fact they're only giving up, what, 15, almost 16 points a game. So we're going to have a handful trying to score in their defense and move the football.
Great job so far. Keep everybody healthy this weekend, and best of luck, okay?
Thank you.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. I'm Paul Allen. When we return, running backs coach James Saxon talks intimately about Adrian Peterson and his stable of backs when Vikings Live from Winter Park continues on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park continues. I'm Paul Allen. Happy to be joined by James Saxon, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Coach Saxon, pleasure to chat with you, and thanks for joining the radio show.
Thanks for having me.
Your stable, Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhart, Matt Asiata, Jordan Todman's on the practice squad, and even Percy Harvin when he goes back to the backfield. I would imagine you work with him a little bit on that. Let's start with Adrian. Two touchdowns in the Jacksonville game. What do you think of his season so far?
I think he's doing a tremendous job. I think he's doing a great job with his body. I think that's the most important thing, in terms of recovery in a long NFL season. But he's doing well.
I brought this up to Leslie Frazier earlier before you walked in. Adrian's been rather hard on himself after the Redskins game, talking about his lack of aggressiveness and just saying, "Hey, I need to have better games." When you look back at his Redskins game, what do you think he's talking about?
Well, I just think it's kind of the way the game went. In terms of getting numbers and touches and things like that. I mean, he played a high number of snaps in our ball game, and I think he did some really good things in pass protection. So he may have been high, a little bit hard on himself, but I think great players hold themselves to a higher standard. And, the place we want to go and the place Coach Frazier wants us to go, I think we all should be wanting to have that same standard.
James, is Adrian at his best when he's in tight quarters? I mean, it's beautiful when you get him outside, you get the right block or two, and there he goes. He runs away from safeties or whatever for those long touchdowns. But really, as the game shape goes, you don't get a lot of those. But you get a lot of between the tackle runs where you're in tight quarters with linebackers and stuff like that. Is he at his best? Is he legitimately one of the best in the game at that?
Well, I mean, he's a very good runner. But I don't like to kind of think of it that way in terms of pigeonholing him that way. I'd like to be able to use what we have in terms of what our offensive line is capable of doing. And obviously, we're aware as coaches of some of his strengths and the things that he's doing. But I think that Adrian will tell you the same thing, that he's open to do what we think as coaches are right.
Your approach to working with Adrian Peterson, how do you handle him compared to some other guys in your room?
Well, I think, you have to give the guy credit for what he's done in terms of been in the league for a while. But, he's held to the same standards as everybody else in that room. You have to be accountable and understand what you're being asked to do in each particular play.
Now, when Adrian Peterson is in on, say, a second or third, and say it's eight or nine, it's maybe an obvious passing down, maybe even you're coming out of shotgun, his blitz pickup, his pass protection, a little bit of a problem early in his career, but we've seen it get better year after year. Where is it now?
Well, I think he's improving each week. I think as long as he understands what he needs to identify in a particular protection, I think that he's as good as pretty much anybody I've been around.
And it seems like he's becoming much more comfortable in the catching game and the receiving game. He was targeted 8 times last week by Christian Ponder. He brought in 7.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. He's been working on that. There's a lot of good things. It's good to have 28 on the field, and we want him out there as much as we can, but we have to be smart as well.
Off the ACL, we're six games into the season now. Is Adrian capable of getting free from the linebackers or the safeties after some good blocking and running away from the pack with one of those visually beautiful runs, or is that something that even you, as his position coach, needs to see?
Well, every great runner, if you just go back and look at all the guys who've had great numbers throughout the course of the year, I mean, number one, their teams were good. Number two, you need help. I mean, you're excluding the quarterback, you need 9 guys functioning properly on a particular play in order for it to have success. And obviously the runner's got to be able to put the ball in the right spot. And along with his gifts, he can make some things happen that aren't blocked. So, we're fortunate to have a guy like him.
James Saxon, running backs coach for the 4-2 Vikings, is on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Say you get Jerome Simpson back week after week after week after week. Now all of a sudden he's a major part of the passing mix. What does that do for Adrian Peterson in the running game, having Jerome to complement Kyle Rudolph, Percy Harvin, and the rest of the guys?
Well, Jerome's a very good football player. We're excited to have him. We're excited about the things he's going to help us with. And I think Bill is going to do a very good job in terms of getting him the ball.
Toby Gerhart, when he had that rough patch at the end of the 49ers game, you're trying to milk the clock and whittle that thing away, and he was dropping the ball. What'd you say to him after the game?
Well, get past it. You know, you have to move on to next week. He's a good football player. I mean, he, you know, when the first one came out, he understood that, you know, the Sharks smelt the blood in the water, so they kept attacking it. And in this game, you have to have a short memory.
With Toby Gerhart and the illustrious career he had at Stanford, obviously he's been in the league a few years now, and he backs up Adrian Peterson. Do you, as his position coach, have to keep him more motivated than some others? Not that he would jake it or anything, but just remind him your turn can come. Because, I mean, I would imagine going from 25 carries a game and a couple of touchdowns to just a couple of touches a game, that's something that's always difficult, correct?
Well, you know, every guy in the room has to prepare like a starter. Nobody gets a free pass in that area because, you know, Coach Frazier, and when he selected his football team, for the players that are on his football team, he selected them because they could help this football team win. And that's the focus of each and every guy. If you sit in a chair on an NFL roster, your only thought should be, hey, I have to play good enough to be a starter.
Toby, what's his strength? Would you say his strength, I would say at first blush, would be hitting the hole and maybe running over somebody or dragging somebody and getting some extra yards? But catching the ball is a sneaky good thing he does, correct?
Yeah, he's got very good hands. He's very bright, obviously. He's a very good runner. Toby's strengths are that he's just a complete football player. He's exactly what you want. I mean, there's no question that he could be a frontline runner for a team in this league.
When Percy Harvin is the tailback in the eye, is he your responsibility or wide receiver coach George Stewart's?
Well, I mean, we kind of both kind of talk to him, but I kind of let Coach Stewart handle all that, and you know, if Percy needs to ask me a question, I'll go over and talk.
If Percy were a full-time tailback, you know, not even the Brian Westbrook type, but say he were a full-time tailback, do you think he'd be top 10, top 15 in the league if that was only his job?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just happy with Percy's being able to do for us as a player. You know, I don't want to speculate that because, hey, he's doing what he's doing for us, and I think that's the best thing for us.
Matt Asiata worked really hard in the preseason to make this team. He's active every week, and from what Mike Prefer has told me, he's pretty good on special teams, you know, which would be his number one contribution at this time. From a running back standpoint, is he kind of a hybrid in that he's between a fullback and a tailback?
Matt is a runner. You know, he can play fullback for us. He's a very versatile player. You know, young first-year player in the league, and I'm just happy to have him.
And speaking of the fullback spot, first year with the Vikings, Jerome Felton, I think he definitely could qualify as one of the real underrated stars on this team, specifically some things he's done for Adrian. But you just see a tough guy like that, and even on special teams, Jerome Felton has done some really good things for you guys this year, hasn't he?
Yes, we're happy to have him. He's a guy who's been in the league for a little while. And, you know, he's trying to find his place, and I think that he's been doing a pretty good job in front of Adrian.
As is Jordan Todman, the 4-3 guy who's on the practice squad right now, first full year from UConn. How do you get from the practice squad to the active roster?
Keep practicing well. Keep studying. Keep yourself prepared because you never know in this league when your opportunity is going to come. And if you're fortunate enough to get an opportunity, you have to take advantage of it.
Tough front seven for the Cardinals. How does your stable stack up against Arizona's front seven?
Well, Arizona's a very, very good football team. And anytime you play against an opponent, you have to respect the opponent. And the things that we have to do in talking about what Coach Frazier's philosophy is, we have to go out and execute and play good Viking football.
Adrian had 3 touchdowns against these guys last year very early in the game. You guys opened up 28-0 before people even settled into their seats. How did he do it last year?
Well, you know, it was – you know, sometimes the ball bounces in your favor, and there's not a lot of times in the NFL where you can get, you know, 4 scores in the first quarter, especially 4 touchdowns. So you just take advantage of it, and you just play the game. Now we have to go out and execute and finish.
Last one, James, for you, personally and professionally, running backs coach for the Vikings now, immediate coach to Adrian Peterson, arguably the best running back in the NFL. What do you hope is next for you professionally?
Well, you know, I just want to keep doing a good job every single day, making sure the players that I'm coaching have all the information they need to go out and perform at a high level.
Thank you very much for the time, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you for having me.
James Saxon, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. We like to remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game and you can win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. This is Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Happy to be joined by starting safety Jamarcus Sanford in his fourth year from Ole Miss. Welcome to the radio show, Jamarcus. How you been?
I'm all right. Thank you all for having me.
Sorry about the loss at Washington. What was your perspective on the game, specifically defending RG3 and that read option where, I mean, it looked like a college offense?
Well, you know, during the game, you know, we were kind of frustrated, but as we go back and look at film, you know, it's nothing they did. It's, you know, we just didn't execute when we needed to. And, you know, we just went back and looked at film and studied and just got to learn from our mistakes and learn how to execute when we need, you know, when it's critical at a critical time.
You know, one good thing about the Vikings since the beginning of 2011, tied for first in the NFL in sacks and at or near the top of the league in forced fumbles and or fumble recoveries. You've had a lot to do with that with four forced fumbles this year. Is that something for which you will have a knack, or is it timing with when you hit people and go to stripping the ball? What's leading to that success for you?
Well, you know, a couple hits, you know, the ball just came out, but it was a couple of them. You know, I went for the ball and it came out. And, you know, that's something that coach always talk about, you know, forcing the ball, you know, how critical having turnovers, you know, it can turn the game around, especially at somebody else's house. And, you know, that's just something that we work on during practice. You know, we do a lot of script drills, older than DB drills. So, you know, you just carry on over to the game.
What are you most comfortable doing when you're playing defense? As a safety with Harrison Smith, are you most comfortable by the line? Are you most comfortable in pass coverage? When you're at your best, what do you like doing most?
Well, my best is being in the box, you know, stopping the run. But, you know, I built my confidence up in the pass game, so I feel a lot more comfortable playing in space now. And out there with Harrison, you know, he good at, you know, both of them. You know, he comfortable in space and playing in the box. So one thing I like about playing with Harrison, you know, we work well together, and he talk a lot. So, you know, we communicate well. So that's a plus. And as a rookie, you know, you don't just see too many rookies that can pick up like he can pick up. He can they can show him something in the classroom. He can go right to the field and take it to the field. So me and him back there, you know, we just do a good job of talking, and it make our job a lot easier.
You appear to be much more comfortable this year than you were last year. And you played a lot last year at the safety spot. A, is that accurate? Are you more comfortable? And if so, what's leading to that?
It's night and day. When I go back and look at film, you know, from how I played last year into this year, I think just do a lot to do with, you know, just being, getting more comfortable with the defense. You know, last year, my first year, just as, you know, as a starter, and, you know, you just learn from your mistakes that you make the year before and just grow as a player. And, you know, I talked to Torn a lot, and Torn said, you know, one of the key points is studying film. And this year here, you know, I make sure I study film a lot, and that just helped me play a lot faster, and you be more comfortable with, you know, certain situations.
And you have a lot of defensive coordinators around the NFL who will credit Antoine Winfield as not only being a great student of the game, but a guy when he comes from the slot, being a defensive back who diagnoses a play really as well as anybody they've ever seen in the history of the game. When Antoine gets into the film and he starts to try to dissect what the opponent's going to do, what makes Antoine so good at that, and what can younger players pick up to make their game better?
Well, you know, Antoine, I mean, some of the things he do on film, you know, it's just something that you can't teach, you know. It's some of the things that just come with him. He's just blessed with the talent that he have. But, you know, he's not the biggest or the fastest guy, but the heart he play with, you can't explain it. Antoine, if I had to start a team, he'll be the first guy that I start a team with. Because the heart he play with, you can't match it, you know. The smallest guy on defense, but the hardest hitter on defense. Yeah. And, like you said, he's very smart, you know. He can tell you stuff, you know, before it happened, and he pick up on stuff real good. That, you know, a lot of guys that can't, you know, just can't pick up stuff like him. And you got to give credit to Joe Wood, too. You know, Joe Wood do a great job, our coach, of breaking it down and giving us tips. So you got to give credit to Coach Woods also. But Antoine, I mean, he's unbelievable. Words really can't describe, you know, how good of that guy is. To me, I feel like he's one of the most underrated guys in this league. And to me, he got my first vote at Hall of Fame.
Fourth-year safety Jamarcus Sanford's on Vikings Live from Winter Park. A rookie in that 2009 season. You come in, Brett Favre's on the team, you go to the NFC title game, you lose a tight one to New Orleans, and that's your first year in the NFL. How eye-opening was that?
That was unbelievable. You know, that's a moment you'll never forget, you know. And when I first came into this league, all the older guys like Jared and Ticket and all of them, you know, they was telling me, you know, winning this league not easy. And, you know, most time in college, you know, if you're good 1 year, the next year, 9 times 10, you're going to be good. But in this league, you know, 1 year stand on his own. And I learned that the hard way, you know, like the guy was telling me, you know, it's hard to win this league. And, you know, we went to the NFC championship. I'm thinking next year, you know, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, we have the same team, but the last 2 years, you know, we've been down, and we went 6-10 my second year and 3-13 last year. And this year, you know, we're on a good start, but, you know, it's still a long season. One thing about it, you know, all the guys know. So we've been down that road, you know, we've been on the good end and we've been on the bad end. So we know what it takes to win now. And, you know, we just want to continue to win and continue to get better each and every week.
And you're 4-2. What's so much different defensively? You have a new coordinator in Alan Williams. You know, and some new players in some different spots are like Everson Griffin's playing a lot more. Christian Ballard's playing a lot more. You're much more comfortable. Harrison Smith's in the mix. Chris Cook's back. Winfield's back. We know from a personnel standpoint, a lot is different, Jamarca, but there just seems to be a different vibe, just a different level of confidence on that side of the ball. Is that fair?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, everybody playing with a confident level, and we're growing each and every week. You know, we have a lot of young guys, but you have a lot of young guys that are very talented and wanting to get better each and every week. And that's just how we approach it every week. And, you know, every week we try to go out and get better. And like last year, you know, you just don't want to experience 3-13 again because, you know, you wanted the worst team in the NFL. And to be a part of a team like that, you know, you take that to heart. I know I do. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I can speak for the whole team. You know, we took that to heart, and you can tell, you know, we went off this offseason, and everybody put in work, and so far, you know, it's paying off. But we know it just started, and, you know, we ain't halfway through the season, so we just got to continue to work each and every week and continue to try to get better.
What was it like in college playing with Patrick Willis?
Oh, it was great. You know, that's one of my best friends, and actually I had to play linebacker my sophomore year because a few guys got kicked off the team, so the coach came to me and asked me to play linebacker. So it was a great experience for me, you know, to play right beside him. You know, I didn't really know the defense that well because, you know, it was during the year and I played safety, so they moved him to linebacker, and Patrick did a great job, you know, aligning me up and you know, telling me what to do. So I mean, that was a great experience with him.
So I would imagine we're the only team in the National Football League maybe in the last 10 years that had starting safeties play starting linebacker at Division I schools like Harrison Smith. He played outside linebacker for Notre Dame. You played next to Patrick Willis. I would imagine in the running game that helps your guys tackling a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's part of what we get our physicalness from. You know, when you play linebacker, you know, it's very physical down there. You're taking on 300-pound linemen, and then you got to take on fullback. So when you get back to safety, you know, it makes your job a lot more easier because a lot of times, you know, you're taking on receivers, and, you know, you might take on a lineman every now and then, but you're used to it if you're going to play linebacker. So it really makes your job more easy in the run game.
A couple of quickies to close here for Jamarca Sanford. Adrian Peterson, full speed, open field. Jamarca Sanford, full speed. What happens?
It's gonna be a bad collision. You know, it's like two big trucks running to each other.
What if he cuts?
What if he cuts?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna miss because I'm just taking my shot. I'm not gonna be on my feet to try to hit him dead in the mouth because, like you said, it's like a freight train coming through. And I know with me, I'm taking my shot at his leg, and hopefully he go down.
We better stay away from that one knee, obviously.
Oh, yo, I'm trying to hit the knee because, hey, if I hit him up high, I know what he's going to do to me. He'll hurt me, might give me a concussion. So I'm taking my shot at his leg.
And nobody wants to get trucked.
Oh, not at all. I mean, you'll be on da-na-da.
Last one. Do you play with a chip on your shoulder? I mean, you played at an SEC school, seventh rounder, widely described as one of the better special teamers in the NFL. With all due respect, some rough moments at safety last year while learning on the job. You've completely, then beaten out of the job in training camp and preseason. Now here you are playing the best you've ever played in the National Football League. Do you play with a chip on your shoulder?
Oh, yes. I really feel like anybody that's 5'10 or 5'9 in this league, they play with a chip on their shoulder because most of the guys you see 5'9, 5'10, you know, it was most of the guys that was, you know, underrated or told was not going to make it to the league. And all my life I've been told, you know, stuff that I can't do, go to the league or whatever. And somehow I would have pride myself off of hard work. You know, I work hard. And like I said, I'm not the tallest guy. I'm not the fastest. I'm not the biggest. But I play with my heart, and I leave my heart out there every time I'm out there. And one thing about it, if 33 on the field, you know you're going to get his all. You know, that's all I can give. So I know when I'm out there, I'm giving my best. And sometimes my best is not good enough, but, hey, I'm happy with it because I know I put my best foot forward and I gave you everything I can give. And like you said, I make sure I play with a chip on my shoulder because I am one of the shorter guys out there. And I hate to be bullied, you know, like somebody, you know, bigger than me trying to, you know, run over me. So that's why I really play with an attitude when I'm out there.
Two picks last year against Arizona. You got two more this weekend?
Oh, I hope so. It's about time. I've been touching a few balls, but it's about time to bring the INT in.
That was terrific. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Jamarcus Sanford, safety for the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, you'll hear from team president Mark Wilf talking about the trip to London and Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. It's Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network. I'm Paul Allen. Mike Wabshaw of Vikings.com. Very shortly, for the opposition update, and do handicap and analyze the Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals this weekend from All of America Field. A couple of 4-2 teams hooking up for a noon kickoff. But earlier today on my 9 to noon radio show on FM 100.3 The Fan, I had the opportunity to chat with Minnesota Vikings team president Mark Wilf, not only about an update on the stadium and the potential of a retractable roof, but the big news of late, the Vikings will play a game next year in London, England, September 29th, 2012, against the Steelers. Here's what the team president had to say.
Let's bring our fans over there and have a great experience. We're very excited about it. It's going to be a great experience. We have, as you know, our Viking fans are all over the world. We're going to be well represented there. It's a great opportunity for our brand. For our business and tourism community, and I think it's going to be something the team will embrace. But again, we're just focused right now on Arizona, but an exciting week in terms of the London game next year, and we're looking forward to playing the Steelers over there.
With the London game, Mr. Wilf, not to put you in a bad spot, and I know that the plan is developing because the news is so new, at least to the public, but do you anticipate the team putting together any type of packages or, you know, any type of deals en masse to try to get thousands of people from here to there?
We're going to do it. Yes, we're going to put a lot of type of packages and opportunities for fans that want to go over there and maybe put around a vacation or to support their Vikings over in London. So we'll put that together over the next couple of weeks here. And then the offseason, we're going to really ramp it up, and our fans will have an opportunity to go over there.
It'll be a Vikings home game taking on, as you mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers. What benefits are there for the Vikings or for the designated home team to play a game at Wembley Stadium?
Well, I think the primary benefits are not so much a direct financial, but more of a branding. I think it's great for our business community, our sponsors, our tourism industry for the state of Minnesota. Just for awareness of the great brand of the Minnesota Vikings. So from that standpoint, it's a great opportunity. Fans will have opportunity. We have fans, as you know, a lot of fans in Northern Europe. We played four games overseas in the 80s and 90s. So this is a tradition where our brand is worldwide, and we want it to be recognized. And we want to help grow the game of professional football and help the NFL promote that as well. So there are a host of good things about this, and we look forward to see how this goes.
You ever been to London? And if so, say we're there for a week, like doing radio shows and TV shows and getting ready for the game. What are some things to do in London you think are fun, sir?
Oh, I'm sure our fans will be resourceful finding the appropriate pubs and fish and chips opportunities. So and visiting Big Ben or what have you. But it's a great city, and they've embraced American football and quickly moving up the sports ladder in terms of viewership and fans, and it'll be a lot of fun.
So we're going to go see Big Ben on a Monday, and then we go to Buckingham Palace on a Tuesday. Then we start focusing on the game Wednesday through Sunday, right?
That's about right. You got the routine down. Our fans have the routine down, so we're right on track.
You think, Mark, you think there's a chance we'll go to London three consecutive years, given the walk-up to the new stadium 2016?
Well, right now this is a one-year commitment for both the league and ourselves, and we're going to evaluate the whole thing after it happens and see how it works, not just for our business community in the state and for our club, but also for our football, and see how that works out as well. So we're going to look at it again with the NFL after this happens. It's the first experience for the whole league in terms of a second game. We're doing it in September, where traditionally we've been in October.
Yep.
With the game. So it's a new experience for everyone. We'll see how it goes.
Anything new on the stadium front, specifically with the roof situation, Mr. Wilf?
No, but we're hot and heavy in terms of discussing the roof and with the authority and trying to come up with a solution that the fans are going to be excited about. Certainly, as we said, we're going to do our best to get a retractable feature in this building, and the details of it are being worked out as we speak. And as soon as we get information and we have an idea of where we're heading, we'll certainly let the fans and you and the public know about it.
And we thank Vikings team president Mark Wilf for joining my radio show earlier in the day at KFAN.com. Welcome back to the Vikings Entertainment Network. Per usual, we close shows weekly with Mike Wabshaw of Vikings.com, providing you with an adversarial update and also talking about the game over this weekend. A couple of 4-2 teams hook up. And by the way, for more on that game, including Wobby at Buffalo Wild Wings, join us tomorrow for the Friday Football Feast. It is at Buffalo Wild Wings Maplewood. You can find the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page at KFAN.com. Good evening, Wobby.
Good evening. So I'm the closer.
Well, you're the closer here.
Okay.
Yeah, see, we have a 5-point lead. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you the ball repeatedly.
Okay.
And hope you don't fumble it to conclude
right.
What we think is a winning production, but that's, you know what?
Okay.
We let the media and the fans and everybody else judge our performance.
Right.
Within the facility, we listen back to it very closely. All the coaches and producers get together. Mm-hmm. We think it's a winning game so far. Our work is done. Yours has just begun.
Well, let's go. This is our version of the 4-minute offense, so let's see if we can close it out.
Okay, here we go. Arizona Cardinals, your thoughts?
Well, tricky team, tricky defense. You know, this is, you look at, like, I just think the Arizona Cardinals have this stigma where it's like, oh, they're the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. They're gonna come in here and we're going to destroy them.
Well, they've won like 11 out of the last 15.
Exactly. They finished the season last year 7-2. They're 4-2 this year. So this team isn't any joke, and I think the biggest reason is their defense. I think they're very good up front, particularly their front seven. Darnell Dockett, defensive tackle, I think he's really good. Calais Campbell's really good. And then you guys talked about Darrell Washington. The guy's really good, too. So those three players, and then you have Patrick Peterson in the back end and Adrian Wilson, and that's all cute and everything. But this front seven is pretty good. And they're billed as a 3-4 defense, but they're really more of a four-man or a five-man front. 82% of the time, they have a four-man front or a five-man front. So that's really what Christian Ponder and company are going to be looking at, 4- or 5-man front, and if it's multiple, you're going to have to figure it out. Christian Ponder had a little bit of trouble with that in the preseason, but he hasn't had trouble with that in the regular season. So I think he's got that squared away. And I think offensively, we just have to be basic. We have to run the ball with Adrian and Toby. If that's working, you go to your play action, get Rudolph down the seam, throw a bubble screen to Percy Harvin. And if you're basic on offense and you play to your average and get 24.5 points a game, which is what we're scoring per game, you should be able to beat this Arizona Cardinals team, because I think our defense is going to be able to handle Arizona's offense.
I think you use the operative word to describe the Cardinals, tricky, because anytime you have Larry Fitzgerald Jr., they have a chance to get up and down the field quickly. You know, defensively speaking, I just don't think they face the greatest offenses in the NFL. But then again, that could be a bad take, because they beat New England at New England, and they also beat the Philadelphia Eagles in a very close game. And even though Philadelphia offensively is having its struggles this year, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, Mike Vick, it's a tough team to defend. So these Cardinals are very, very tricky. How'd they get in that low-scoring spine tingler with Buffalo last week?
Well, yeah, they played a bunch of overtime games. I think they had 4 last year at home, 2 this year at home. So, I mean, they play and you always talk about the Vikings are built to play in close games. I think Arizona, you could probably say something similar about them.
Yeah.
You know, built to play in close games. And they play well in close games. So 6 of their last 9 games maybe have gone, home games have gone to overtime. So this is a team that plays in a ton of close games, and that's what they're going to try and do to the Vikings. So, but if the Vikings are buttoned up, and as I said, they can be basic on offense, execute the fundamentals, I think they're going to be in good shape. I really like our defense's matchup against this offense. And that's no disrespect to their offense, but us at home, you've said it on your radio show, we're a different team when we play at home, especially this year, we're 3-0. So, this is a good matchup. You just can't give the game away with turnovers. You can't kick it to Patrick Peterson. We did a great job last year. 0 punt return yards against him last year. So don't kick it to Peterson. Be buttoned up on offense and let the defense dominate.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. A couple of minutes to go here. I had Jamarcus Sanford on the radio show earlier.
He was good.
Yeah, I'm just very, I don't want to say proud of Jamarcus, because I don't want to sound like his coach or his dad.
Yeah.
But in seeing him come in the league in 2009, loud kid, pumping everybody up, good on special teams, and then watching him the last couple of years, specifically last year when we had safety injuries, he had to jump in there. And like I said to Jamarco, with all due respect, you had some struggles, but he was learning on the job.
Uh-huh.
Then you get to training camp and preseason, he and Mistrell Raymond are battling out for the same job.
Oh my gosh.
Mistrell Raymond wins.
Yep.
Now, Mistrell gets hurt, Jamarco gets his opportunity, you could tell he's a guy playing with a chip on his shoulder, yeah. And Jamarca's playing quite well.
No, he is, and Jamarca really good against the run. You heard him talk about that. He likes to come up to the line of scrimmage, defend the run, but he really has stepped up in space. And that, you know, Leslie said that at the beginning of the season. He's during that competition, he was asked about each guy, and the thing he said about Jamarca was he wanted Jamarca to play better in space, and I think Jamarca is doing that. And we talk offensively about wanting to put guys in a position to succeed. Percy Harvin, Kyle Rudolph, those guys. Defensively, you want to do the same thing. And for Jamarca, that's bringing him up in the box to play the run.
A minute total, winning formula for three phases of the game.
Okay.
Offense first.
Vikings offense, you just have to be basic. Do what you do. Do it well. Run the ball. Our offensive line has done a great job run blocking this year, and they got to keep doing that. I think they can against this defense. If you can run the ball, your play action is going to work. Score 24 points, win the game.
Defensively against an offense that is second last in the NFL for yards gained.
Two things really quickly. Rush with just four guys, drop seven, because if you can get home against John Skelton with four guys and you have seven in coverage, I think you're going to be in good shape. He's going to throw you the ball. The other thing is be buttoned up against the run. Their two running backs are out, but remember Artus Pinner 2006? He was our backup running back. No one took him seriously. He ran for 125 yards and three touchdowns against the Lions. No one saw that coming. Don't let that happen to you. The Vikings got to be buttoned up against the run.
Artus Pinner, diminutive, likewise for William Powell at 5'9", 15-second special teams.
It's Patrick Peterson. If you kick it to him, you got to be careful. We allowed zero punt return yards to Patrick Peterson last year when he was tearing everybody else up. So Cooley's got to be careful. Put it high. Put some hang time. Make him... catch some fair catches, which he had to do three of them last year. If you can do that to Peterson, he won't beat you.
Excellent job. Hopefully we're able to lick the competition this weekend.
Thank you, Paul.
Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. By the way, great seats are still available for that Thursday night primetime game. We have a game next week against the Buccaneers. Go to Vikings.com/tickets for information. For the producers, Joe and Jay Nelson, along with the great Tim Cobb, and all of us here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. That's Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.